Blog Talk Radio.
Artist Connection. Perk your ears up, cause it's going down. The Artist Connection, the hottest and coolest show in town. You came to the right place, cause on every episode they play songs from up and coming artists across the globe. The hottest in news, gossip, and current events. So just sit back, relax, don't need to be tense. They're here to tell your story, ain't trying to steal your glory. No matter the category, just let it dispense. From Blues to Prince, Tasha and Tammy, exquisite. So visit the airwaves they inhabit. To this, this will be tragic. Don't dismiss this show, cause that it fact that they have it. Two sisters whip like a rabbit, lifting your soul to heaven's attic. I know you're gonna be healed by all the magic revealed. So crystal clear and surreal, and no static. So yo, I'm glad you made the selection. We'd like to welcome you to the Artist Connection. Here we go. All up in your area, we all in your section. Tasha and Tammy, be the radio best friend. Coming to you live, international vibe. Just wanna say, welcome to the Artist Connection. All up in your area, we all in your section. Tasha and Tammy, be the radio's best friend. Coming to you live, international vibe. Here we go.
Welcome to another episode of Artist Connection with my girl Tasha and myself. Tonight, we are back with part two of Asking the Hosts, and as promised, we will pick some more questions that you guys have asked us over time, and partner was good in picking some good questions last week, and I'm really looking forward to see what she's picked for tonight. And as we promised, next week, we're going to do, of course, another part one and two, where I ask the questions picked by you guys directed toward my partner. So, partner, are you ready to ask me some questions? I'm ready to answer them.
I am always, always ready. What's up, you guys? Thank you all for tuning in tonight. I'm so excited about this Q&A with my girl, Tammy. You guys are going to learn a lot more about her. What's up, you guys? I'm definitely excited about this Q&A with my girl Tammy. I'm always excited to do this show. Y'all know how I do.
hey partner, I think I'm ready. But when we first aired, I think that yours was unmute. It would not unmute itself. So I don't know exactly how much the listener heard when you first came in. So
Okay.
I know. I don't know what it was. It kept on like buffering. So,
oh, that's so
you
weird. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely ready. That's what I was saying. I'm ready always. Y'all know how I do. I'm always 10 toes down for this show. It's just one of my favorite parts of the week. So, partner, you got a lot of questions. People were very intrigued by you.
Oh,
and,
Lord.
I think some gentlemen had some questions.
Okay.
We have a lot of questions regarding, are you single and all that stuff. So we're going to get right on into it by first asking you, are you single?
I am currently single, yes.
Okay. And what kind of man would you be interested in?
A nice man. No,
it's always good.
These days, and that really sounds like I'm like 80, but these days, and it's going to sound so shallow, but the inner really means a lot to me these days.
The
character.
That's the opposite of shallow.
No, right, yeah, you know what? Shallow was not really the right word. You're right. No, that sounds cliche. Because
cliche,
you know how most
right.
people say, yeah, cliche was the word that I was looking for. Mm-hmm. Yes, I am
right,
shallow.
Right. No, but I get
you're
what
right.
you mean. Right.
Yeah, because
right.
people always
I
say,
mean,
oh, the looks don't matter. It only, you know, matters to me how they are, like their character. And really, it looks is somewhat important. I have to be attracted. The person has
Amen.
To be attracted to me. Aside from that,
yes.
I like a very funny man. I love to laugh, and a sense of humor is everything. I like a spiritual man, and I like a very open-minded person that, doesn't box himself in, that is open-minded towards, you know, different cultures, different type of music, just a
right.
all-around open person. I like that.
That's so funny because when you said that, I was, for me, this is just my opinion because, you know, that's my partner. I want her to be with somebody good. I don't know if you guys remember the movie Love Jones, but do you remember when she was like, oh, he's into art and photography and music? He's just a Renaissance black man. And when I picture somebody that she's with, I really picture someone like that. You know what I mean? Doesn't have to be the physical part, not maybe, but definitely somebody that is well-rounded and worldly because you're half German. Your background is very interesting. And tell them a little bit more about your background because that is really interesting and definitely different about you.
Well, I did grow up in Germany. I grew up in Europe. I was born and raised in Germany, Mannheim, Germany. Shout out to my people. I didn't move to the U.S. And I grew up bilingual. I learned English at the age of 3. I started learning English, but I didn't really start speaking it on a daily basis until I was like around 12. So really when I started, I had like this huge accent. And I understood everything, but my speech was not as great. But I practiced on my craft, and over the years, I've gotten pretty good. You still can tell that I have an accent, but it's not like I can't really just say, oh, she's from Germany. People would never just guess, but it's fine because I love the fact that I'm from Germany, and I always embrace it and tell everybody. But I grew up over there. It's a different world. I mean, actually, a lot of the things are actually the same, but then a lot of things are so different, from the U.S., starting from healthcare, like things like that, politics.
Mm-hmm.
But also the mentality. The mentality, of course, is different. I mean, it's a complete different country. So you have different mentalities, different culture. And so I kind of grew up around Americans as well because I dealt with a lot of military. I was married to a military man. My dad was military. I didn't grow up around my dad. I grew up around my mom only, but my mom dated military men. So at home, American foods, because we had access to the commissary. So I grew up around American food and German food. There was a lot of American TV. Like there's one channel. It was like that military AFN. It was one channel. when the boyfriend was around, he would watch that. And so I also grew up with American shows as well. But I still was more like Germanized, I mean, I watched like mainly German television. All my friends were German, I went to an all-German school. I mean, it was just like that. But, I still listened to my hip-hop. I was a big, R&B and hip-hop fan from early on. And so, pretty much international babe. And I listened to all kinds of music growing up, from rock to pop to salsa to Arabic music, German music, of course. Mm-hmm. So, it's a little bit different. Different
right.
views.
And
you've
definitely opened my eyes and exposed me to some musicians and artists that, I wouldn't have had any access to, and they're amazing. And your love of music and things like that is something that we definitely, among other things, have in common. And you get the most compliments, of course, that I've heard from my side on your accent. So, even though to me it's, because every time someone listens to a show, they always say, oh my God, I love her voice. I love her accent all the time. I hear that the most. So I also wanted to ask you, now how does a man approach you? How would a man approach you if they were interested in you?
Like, how would I want him to approach me?
Yes, how would you want him to approach you? Yes.
Oh, that's a hard one. I want to say, just surprise me. Because
surprise me.
That's not really that I have like mapped out. It just would have to click, I guess. Like, it depends on how he comes at me. How I don't know. That's a good one though, partner. Like, how would I want to approach?
That one.
Of course, not disrespectful. I mean, don't slap me on my booty or anything like that.
Right, because I said, okay, surprise you now. Come on, you got to
give
them directions.
I tell you what I don't like. Oh, I know. I tell you what I don't like. I really don't like walking by a man and he's giving me the looks and licking his lips and give me the to me, that's a turn off. I just don't like that because don't sexualize me before you even, I mean, okay, that's what you see at first, okay? I might have a big butt, okay? it is what it is. But I'm just saying, like, that to me is still a turnoff. I mean, you can give me the eye, you can smile at me, you know what I'm saying? But then, you know, look me up and down, lick your lips. That's not sexy to me, guys. If you think that's sexy, you're wrong.
Right.
A woman does not find that sexy. I'm talking about the grown woman. I mean, I don't know. But
exactly.
You know what?
That's what I was going to say,
a grown woman, because I am guilty. When I was like 18 or 19, I thought that was a compliment, and I enjoyed that type of attention, and I do not at all anymore. So that must have something to do with your own security.
Right, and I know from experience for me, it's like that's always, you know, kind of like, ooh, boys like me when you're, you know, 15, 16, and, you know, 18, like you said. But then when you get all the time and you do reach that grown woman phase, it's like, okay, dude, no. You know what I mean? Like, no, thank you. So I completely can relate to that. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, I don't expect for any man to chase or sweat a woman, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, a little effort can be very sexy and can go a long way. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Like a little effort in trying to approach a woman. You know, like maybe ask somebody else or ask people, like, who is that? What's her name? Like, I don't know. That's effort to me. Like, you trying to really, you know, find out things about a woman before you actually approach her. I think that's kind of sexy. I think that's kind of cute. Sexy.
Confidence, you know, do a little work. That's pretty good.
Yeah, do a little work.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, so what are your 2019 goals? That was one of the top questions that was asked the most from you.
Okay, so this year my goal is to finish my medical coding school and graduate. Medical coding and billing. Definitely traveling. I'm traveling to Germany this year, and if I can make it, if time allows it, I would love to go to Paris while I'm there, which is only a three-hour drive. Then I do, let me see, I want to write Volume 2 finally, Poetry and Quotes Volume 2. I want to write more this year because really last year I lacked a little bit. I even lacked on writing poetry, and poetry is my life. It's my air.
Same with me.
And I really fell off. I fell off a little bit last year. So really, I wanna write more. I wanna create more. I definitely wanna expand my bracelet business. That's another goal of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanna be happy. And who knows? Maybe even fall in love.
Those are all amazing, amazing goals. Partner, I want to give you an opportunity to say about your business with your bracelets and everything like that, just so that, you know, you keep reminding people what you do and how they can come on and support you.
Right. Yeah, I am definitely into making bracelets, energy bracelets for good vibes, stress, anti-anxiety, love even. They all...
Yeah.
You know, natural stones, and I just love to share it with other people because it makes people happy. Actually, those tiny little bracelets make people happy. I have so many requests, and people be like, look, this is what it is. I have, like, anxiety. And then I really go and I search for the right stones and put them together. And I also work with the seven chakras. And most people are familiar with the seven chakras. If not, I'm not going to go into it. Just Google the seven chakras.
Right.
And then when you wear it, if you wear it on your arm, and the sweat, you know, your own body sweat absorbs, and the stones, the energy of the stones, you know, like it absorbs into your skin, and it's really good stuff. And even if you, let's say, not into esoteric or like, oh, I don't believe in that stuff, you can wear it for fashion. Mm-hmm. They're beautiful. And you can find me on Facebook.
That's what I've seen
energy. Energy bracelets. It's just called energy bracelets. And then on Instagram, Tamalisa Carmen, I have a whole lot of pictures posted of them too. And you can directly just DM me or inbox me and give me your request. And I will make them personalized for you, ship them to you, $3.50 shipping. It's all through business PayPal, so you'll get your invoice. Everything is legit. So check me out, definitely.
Awesome. You guys, make sure that you guys go ahead and definitely support my partner. And we had another question that came in. Okay, so they want to know, and we've asked this question many times, so now they want to know what a day in the life of yours would be. What would it be like?
A life of mine? You mean like a daily
basis?
Yeah,
in your life. Yeah, on a pretty much what is your schedule? What do you do on a daily basis?
Oh, I'm all over the place. I don't have a life routine. No, seriously, like, even though I'm a Capricorn and we're known to be, like, kind of, like, on a straight line, no, I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
So I definitely don't plan. No, I don't plan day to day. I live every day. And I'm, it's crazy. I'm not a spontaneous person, right? I'm not a spontaneous person as far as, like,
right.
You can call me at 9 o'clock and say, get dressed, let's go somewhere. That's not me. I guess then I'm a just straight line Capricorn. No, I can't. No, I'm not even ready yet, no. But as far as like, okay, I mean, the regular things, I got to go to work in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to plan that. I mean, that's just part of work. So, when I'm at work, okay, by the time I get off, I might go home, straight home,
mm-hmm.
and chill or do whatever, or I might just say, hey, I'm going to go ahead and visit a friend or do whatever. Like, I'm not at all, like, I'm all over the place. So I guess it's not even, because I don't do the same thing over. But, let me take that back, because I do meditate. So that's part of my life, I guess. Yeah, okay, let me take all of that back. I do meditate before I get up in the morning. I meditate 10 minutes before I get up.
Good.
And then when I get home from work, I meditate again. I meditate about 30 minutes and sometimes up to an hour. But, you know, that varies. So, again, it's not really like a schedule, but I will meditate on a daily basis. It's very important to me to keep my sanity.
Yes.
And then, really, I'm not a very exciting person, in the eyes of others. For me, I'm totally chill and happy and satisfied with my little life here. But I don't really have a schedule. Like, I make sure I do my little yoga and meditation routine. And then, I chill sometimes. I watch TV or I just get on the computer and start writing or just networking, socializing that way. And, yeah, during the week, it's not really much happening because I do work. But I am a person that goes to bed very late. I get up at 5 in the morning, but I will not go to bed at 10 at night. I mean, I'm here on the show right now, and it's 10 o'clock here in Arkansas. So sometimes I go to bed at 12. Sometimes I go to bed at 1 in the morning and get up at 5:30.
And have to get up. I will be so messed up. But I don't sleep. Everybody calls me a vampire, so I never sleep. But the point is, when you had said, get dressed right now, I'm going somewhere, that gave me so much anxiety because I'm what I consider a pretty spontaneous person. But at the same time, like, I need notice. I need to, like, so I don't think I'm as spontaneous as I want to believe. So I'm going to give you a choice for these next three questions because I feel like they can be, you know, it's about your comfortability. So some people want you to talk about the national emergency that's going on caused by President Trump. Some people want you to talk about religion, religion and your specific beliefs. And other people want you to talk about single shaming on Valentine's Day. So whichever one.
Single shaming.
I guess single shaming
single
is a thing.
Shame.
That's
okay.
They said they were being shamed for being single because they weren't in a relationship or had someone for Valentine's Day. So they want you.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know it was a thing. I didn't know it was a thing. I saw it, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, I never heard about that. That's crazy.
I
think I'm going to pick between them other two, and I'm going to pick religion.
Yay. Okay. All right. So what are your thoughts, feelings? What is your personal religion? All of that stuff.
Okay.
Or are you religious?
So, so I'm spiritual, and I know people hate that answer. They do. What is that? What is spiritual?
Yeah.
What is that? So I'm very spiritual. I do believe in a higher power, and, you know, some people call it God. Some people call it Allah. Some people call it the universe. Some people, you know. I do know that there is a higher power that is way more powerful than I am as a human being here on this earth. But I also believe that we have immense powers within ourselves. I do believe that I believe in karma and that we can create. Well, we don't. We can't. We create it every day. Good karma, bad karma, and that's actually part of being spiritual. Believing in karma, believe it or not. I tend a little bit towards the Buddhism religion, if that's even a religion, because people argue that Buddhism is not really a religion. It's like more like spiritual lifestyle, so to speak, because Buddha was not like a god. He never wanted to be considered a god. So growing up, though, my family, from my grandfather, my mom's side, was a Mormon. And my entire family is actually Mormon. They're Mormon. Yeah, you didn't know that, huh?
No, not at all. I have so many questions now, but listen. Go ahead.
My grandma, it's interesting because my grandfather, after the war, he became friends with an American soldier. And that American soldier was a Mormon. And that's how my grandpa converted from, I think, Catholic into Mormon when he was a young man.
That explains it. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So all of his children, my mom and my uncles and aunts, they were all baptized Mormons. And when I was a child and my grandfather came back into my life, that's when I was five, he took us kids, me and my cousins, to the church, to the Mormon church for many years. As a child, I mean, I didn't really know anything about, you know, anything. I enjoyed it. I really did. But as I got older, I kind of like drifted away from it. Now, I was never baptized in Mormon. My mom was. But my mama later on, before she got sick, studied with Jehovah's Witnesses. And I think she would have converted over, but then she passed away. And my mama, she always raised me to, religion is pretty big in Germany, but I think it's bigger over here, to be honest. They give you the freedom over there. When I say freedom, I don't mean that in a negative way. But a lot of parents, not all, but my mom was one of those parents who said she didn't want to baptize me as a child because she wanted me to grow older and find my own religion and then decide what I wanted to do and wanted to follow. So I had a lot of questions as a kid. I talked to, I asked we had actually religion in school. In German school, religion is a study. Oh. Like you have religion. Like you have math in English and German, you have religion. And so I asked the teacher so many questions, and he was always annoyed. He was always annoyed with me. And then I asked the Mormons a lot of questions, asked some reverends or whatever, asked them many questions, and really never just, I guess I just formed my own over the years, you know. And I always had much respect for people that are in faith and, you know, have their religion. I respected them to the utmost. Sometimes I was not so respected by them because I just was more like a free spirit. And I just, I said, it's in my heart and the love is in my heart. And I'm just a very good person. And I just have my own little belief system, which if I was to go into it now, pardon that, we would not have enough time. But just know that I'm very spiritual and I do believe that there is a higher power.
Okay. And, I mean, anytime you're talking about religion, it's always one of those subjects. And when you said the freedom, you know, of knowing what you're doing, you know, which is really deep because this is not about me. I don't want to make it about me, but I've talked to my daughter before my granddaughter was born. And, you know, people, I know they're going to freak out, especially Christians, they're really going to lose it. But I want her to be free to find out what works for her. Because it took me a long time. I still struggle so much because I question my whole life. Is it what I was taught or is it what what's true? Is it, you know what I mean? And it's so much of a weight that they put on people. And if you, you know, of course, I'm sure you've researched this and I've done it too. People that were raised that way, it's such a hard thing. So I respect you and love what, you know what I'm saying? I love mm-hmm. that about you, that you are open. And, you know, and that's what I want to raise, help
and
raise
let me,
my,
and
my
let
daughter.
Me,
yeah.
Let me tell you something, partner. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. My two daughters, of course, because my mm-hmm. mom gave me that freedom, I gave my daughters mm-hmm. the exact same freedom. And believe it or not,
right.
when we came to the U.S., my mm-hmm. oldest daughter, who is now 30, was 15 at the time, and my youngest one, mm-hmm. she just turned 11. Mm-hmm. And they decided, after coming here, and then they started going to church with some of their friends' mom. My 15-year-old came
mm-hmm.
home when she was around 16 then, and asked me
mm-hmm.
If it's okay to be baptized. And I said, of course.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what you want to do, do
mm-hmm.
it. So she got baptized, and
yeah.
later on, Chante got baptized, and they both got baptized over here. But that's because they wanted it.
Exactly.
I thought it was important for them because it made sense to them at the time,
mm-hmm.
and they
mm-hmm.
felt something, and they felt and they wanted it. And I said, of course, I would have supported any decision, no pressure
right,
at
right.
all. And they did it themselves, and that's exactly what they do with
mm-hmm.
their children now as well. And I'm glad that. That freedom does exist, and that we can give that to our children.
Definitely,
you know?
Definitely, and that's what everybody, you know, pretty much wants, just free from judgment, you know what I mean, let
mm-hmm.
me figure it out, you
right.
know what I mean, well, I can't say everybody wants that, but, you know,
right.
that's how I feel about it.
I don't want to step on nobody's toes, because everybody
mm-hmm.
should do what they think is best, especially when it comes to their children or their own faith and their own beliefs. And
yes,
I've never
definitely.
Been anyone that disrespected anybody's belief or faith
mm-hmm.
because it's if you have true faith in something, whatever it is, and
mm-hmm.
that does it for you, how can I or anyone take that away from you or even question that?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, no.
Right.
No judgment at all on my end.
And that's what we definitely love about you. And then I definitely wanted to ask you a little bit more in depth about racial relations when it comes to being, you know, not raised outside of the country and then, you know, coming over here and getting what's the word I want to say? The word allocated is coming to my mind, but I know that's not the word. But the point is getting adjusted to, you know, living here. Did you have any issues being biracial, you know, anything like that?
I've had maybe two incidents in the entire
mm-hmm.
14 years that I've been here. One incident was
mm-hmm.
actually with an African-American girl.
Mm-hmm.
She was about in her mid-20s. She had, and it was the job. I worked at a police station, actually. I was a police dispatcher,
mm-hmm.
and there was some commotion going on outside with a police officer and her.
Mm-hmm.
And so because I wasn't able to confirm exactly what she said had happened, because I didn't see
mm-hmm.
it. I was behind
right.
the desk.
Mm-hmm.
She had called me mean things. She called me a mixed breed, a white cracker lover. She called me confused, Uncle
mm-hmm.
Tom. Okay, and then so that was
mm-hmm.
one incident. The second incident was when Obama first ran for office. I went
mm-hmm.
to the courthouse to actually vote because I can vote. I am a U.S. citizen as well as a
yes.
German citizen. I have a dual citizenship. So
mm-hmm.
I pay my taxes. I say, I'm going to vote.
Good
so
mm-hmm.
as I walk into the courthouse, there was this elderly Caucasian man. When I say elderly, the man
mm-hmm.
must have been about 75.
Uh-huh.
And he looked at me. He was walking on a stick, okay, belly walking.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that. He looked at me and he said,
mm-hmm.
what are you? Are you one of those Obama people? I was like, what? And he meant to say mix, I guess, you know, because
right,
it was
right,
well
right.
known that
Obama's
president, well,
right.
former President
mm-hmm.
Obama was biracial. So I looked
yes.
at him, I said, what kind of people are you talking about? What kind of people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. You just look like you, the Obama type of people. And that, I don't know
mm-hmm.
if that was like, I mean, I don't know what you want to call it, but it was just ignorant.
No, I know what you
and,
mean. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
but
you know,
really,
it's. Uh-huh.
I had experienced more racism growing up in Germany than I've experienced
oh, wow.
over here as a grown woman.
Right, and we have talked about that before on this show.
Mm-hmm.
If not on the show, we definitely spoke about that. And I know you have some good references and things for people that want to learn more, and I'll get into that. But I was going to say, doesn't it seem like it speaks directly to the type of the character of these people because of the language that they use, like, oh, you're allowed, and him being like, well, what are you exactly? That tells you everything you want to know. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It tells you everything. When you have those biases or you feel that way, she felt that way in her heart before you ever said anything or did anything, and it just comes out, and he felt that way as well. So, you know, that's
you know
more
that.
About them than mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But there was another incident,
yeah.
Actually. You know, I'm a certified heart monitor
mm-hmm.
tech.
Yes.
Now,
mm-hmm.
I don't work on that profession anymore, but that's I'm certified in that. And I work
yes.
in the hospital watching hearts and doing
mm-hmm.
EKGs and all kinds of stuff. And I remember there was one patient, and I walked mm-hmm. in the room because her leads came off. And
mm-hmm.
so my monitor was still on flatline, so I had to run to the room and make sure she's okay. And she just
yeah.
kind of replaced or misplaced her leads. So she asked
mm-hmm.
me when I had put her leads back on, she asked me where I was from. And I told
mm-hmm.
her that I was from Germany, and then she said, I'm part German, and she grew up in the States, and maybe her great-great-father was German. She didn't even speak German. But anyway, she said,
right,
I'm German,
right.
And Germans don't look like you. I said, pardon me? Yeah, listen.
Oh, wow.
I said, pardon me? She said, well, Germans don't look like you. And I said, well, my daddy was, is African-American, and I'm biracial.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I might not look like the blonde hair, blue-eyed German, but I am German indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And then she
mm-hmm.
said, "Oh, I thought you." And then she said, "I thought you came here with the banana boat." And she thought it was funny and giggled.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
wow.
I almost forgot
it's
about that.
Always those.
I almost forgot
it's
about.
That. No, it's always those type of people. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, that was pretty rude.
Yeah,
yeah, she was rude.
Right.
Yeah, but she was
right.
a patient. She was sick, and I wasn't going to argue
mm-hmm.
with the woman. But that kind of like I was like, you know,
mm-hmm.
as sick as you are, like you still have time for hate. And
right.
for evilness. And I'm like,
exactly.
I was thinking to myself, just
mm-hmm.
get well, woman, you know, you're
mm-hmm.
in the hospital, get healthy, get well. Don't worry about how I came over here, whether
exactly.
it's a banana boat or the airplane. You know, I'm here
However,
and I'm helping you
right.
and I'm watching
mm-hmm.
your heart right now. So just keep it, you know.
Right. I have your
nice.
Heart in my hand literally, and you want to play. Crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you want to tell
yeah.
them a little bit about your growing up, specifically related to, you know, to race issues and things like that, that's definitely a story that I had no clue about when you were telling me about different things. I think it's called, like, Brown Babies was one of the documentaries done on German well, biracial children,
yes.
you know what I mean? So
yes.
a little
yes.
background into that. Mm-hmm.
Well, the background about the Brown Babies, that was way before my time. That was during
oh, yeah.
the Nazi, the, yeah, like post-war.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm into
this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, that's fine. But the thing about
yeah.
the Brown Baby story, the sad part about the Brown Baby story is that up to the point where I wrote my own book, Between Two Races, I had no knowledge of Brown Babies. And they were way before me, a whole generation of biracial children that Germany never talked about, not in history, not in the news, nobody, okay? It was like washed away. Come on, let's just silence it. So when the first
right.
U.S. soldiers arrived in Germany, and many of them were African-Americans, later on engaged with some German women, and those German women, and it was illegal at that time. And so these women that got pregnant wasn't supposed to get pregnant by a African-American man. So those babies, some of them were murdered. Some of them were directly taken from the mom's arms after they were born and shipped up or orphanage, okay? And
mm-hmm.
A lot of these African-Americans were sent back home. You guys have to really watch the documentary. I mean, it's so deep.
Definitely.
And
mm-hmm.
some of those survivors are actually my friends. And I'm so honored that they are my friends, that I even get to know them
yeah.
and that I got to know that story. And so they were, there was like this, I don't want to say anything wrong, but there was this military family and there was this precious woman that I think heard about the Brown Babies and
mm-hmm.
went to these orphanages and got them like adopted to the U.S. To the U.S. So they were shipped over here, but a lot of them still after they came over here had like horrible lives and stuff. It's just a very bad situation. Very sad stories. Families were ripped apart. It was just so sad. But now I was born in 71, where it wasn't not illegal anymore, you know. But yet still, it was not, you know, it still wasn't like tolerated that a white woman would engage with an African American. So when my mama was pregnant during that time in the 70s, it was, oh my God, it was a scandal. And then when she had gave birth to me, she was like disrespected, talked about, people wouldn't like talk to her no more because she had a brown baby in her stroller. And those are things that I don't remember because I was too, you know, I was a baby. But then I remember from my kindergarten age on, you know, it was me and my cousin. We had some difficult times at kindergarten. You know, some kids weren't allowed to play with us. You know, racial slurs on a daily basis, kindergarten, school even. So, yeah, it kind of went on until I was about in my teenage years, and then it gotten a lot better because in the 80s, all of a sudden it became cool to be black. Everything, rap, hip-hop, everything was just, like, more, like, widespread, and it was just everybody all of a sudden wanted to be black, and it was cool to be black, even in Germany. And then it really, I don't want to say it ever went away. It never really got to go away all the way, the racism, but it just was more acceptable. Now it's almost more acceptable over there than it's here. It's crazy.
Right.
But, those were some rough years, but, you know, I grew stronger from it. I grew out of it, and I'm okay.
Right.
Like, I'm totally okay. I forgave. They were kids. They didn't know about it. Yeah, their parents taught them. That's the sad part. But as far as, like, the children that used to be mean to us, they learned it from home, you know, but that's just how it is.
Hate is always passed down. Yeah, definitely. And I just tell you, you know, you're one of the most positive people, definitely, you know, just a person that I definitely enjoy as far as your writing and just doing the show with you and everything like that. And all of our listeners and stuff, they love you. So you went in 2019. And it's just been an absolute pleasure to do this. And I just will ask you one last question. Is there anything that we did not cover that you wanted to discuss or talk about or mention?
Well, the whole Liam situation kind of
Liam
kind of hurt my heart. It kind of hurt my heart because I was such a fan of his. Mm. And I love all my Taken movies. So when I've seen and heard him say these things, it gave me, like, goosebumps in the worst way. Like, I thought that was really messed up. And, okay, I guess people say, well, you know, he had enough courage to at least admit it. But why even share that? Like, what was the purpose of sharing it? There's no purpose. There's no reason why he had to come out and share that. Just don't get it. What kind of promo is that? Okay, and now, since he said that, because somebody, I think, asked him where the inspiration came from, him being so aggressive and revengeful in those Taken movies, it was because of that. And that now makes me look at the movies, but I don't even want to look at them anymore.
Sideways. And if you guys don't know, can you tell them exactly what he said? Just in case they didn't catch this. This is Liam Neeson.
Yeah, so I think Liam Neeson, the actor from, and I think he's Irish. So he was promoting, I think, his new movie or something, and he had, like, an interview where he was asked what the inspiration was, you know, for him being so authentic in being this revengeful person. Like, you know how actors always got to go into this other person to become who they need to be in the role. So he said one of his best friends got raped. And a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. She got raped, unfortunately, and he had asked her, was he black? Which always kind of, like, when I heard it, I'm like, why would he ask that? Anyway, he asked, was he a black man? And she said yes. And so then he said for a whole week, he went to the pubs, hoping he would run into any black man, and he initially had thought of killing whoever it was. Like, whatever black man, he would kill him. And he said, I'm ashamed of it, and blah, 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 blah. What the heck? Like, I'm sorry, but I'm so disappointed in this whole statement. Like, I went out looking for a black man. Hope black
Thank
man
you.
Would come in there and start with him so he could leave all mm-hmm. the hate that he has for this unknown person, the rapist, the alleged rapist, mm-hmm. but he would have took anyone out that's black. That
Anybody.
Is pure hate.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, it's just, for me, I'll just be honest, I am one of them black people that is not surprised. it's so funny. It's sad, but it's funny. Chris Rock has a mm-hmm. saying, and he was like, I forgot exactly what he said, but he was like, if I was sitting next to, someone was interviewing him, he said, and he pulls out a knife and just stabs me right now and be like, die, and, you know, and I, yeah, the N-word. He was like, I wouldn't be surprised. He said, because I'd have been like, I should have saw it coming. I'm not saying that all.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
it is,
at
it
all
is,
that all. You know, white people or people of other races are, you know, racist towards blacks, but it's just the thing is like, it's so out there. The people, there's a lot of people who are, and it's sad. It's sad. And it's,
yeah,
it's definitely hurtful, but I wasn't really surprised.
I mean, I guess I
honestly,
give them
right now, mm-hmm. like because of the atmosphere of racism that's in the air, it's just out, and it's like they can say whatever they want now. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
not much happens. So, yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, yeah, it's out, and you said mm-hmm. it now. The whole world knows. I don't know,
yeah, but
know
I do understand your disappointment as a fan. Right.
Yeah, I'm disappointed because I was really a fan.
That. Right.
So, it hurt my feelings that he would have really just maybe, or allegedly, no, not allegedly, because he said he would have done it, that he would have killed or harmed an innocent mm-hmm. person just because of his hate now toward the black man. Now, if it would have been an Irishman, how would he have felt then?
Mm-hmm.
He would have just killed every Irishman or started a fight
that
or, you know, had the same wishes? I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know. I just thought this was a very...
Yeah.
Unnecessary a story that he shared. Like, we didn't need to know that. But, you know, in a way,
right.
it's good
and,
that we know, though.
Right, and I think, too, it shows his disconnection from the social climate. You know, he's definitely not paying attention to what is going on and how people are discussing race and things like that. It shows that he's really not socially conscious. You know what I mean? And, I know his...
But now...
His, you know, yeah.
In the back of my head, I hear the voice now, and it creeps me out when he says, I know who you are, and I'm going to find you, and I'm going to kill you.
I'm going to kill
that
you.
That is creepy
right.
now. It is creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even want to watch it no more. And those
right,
were one of my
right.
favorite movies. But, you know, it is
know.
What it is. So you know.
It is, yeah. And you know, I don't know. You know, it's really hard because it makes you – just look at people so different. And there's a lot going on when we talk about celebrities and the images and stuff. And maybe we can do a show about that, you know, just the way that we once looked at people that we definitely looked up to. And we can talk about the cancel culture and everything, you know. We can definitely do a show and talk about that. But, yeah, it has been an absolute pleasure to interview you, partner. We were just talking and having a good time. Like, we're on the phone.
Right.
I hope you guys definitely enjoyed the show. And
so next week, next week it's your turn. Well, it's my turn to pick out questions for you, and I have a few good ones. I ain't gonna tell you yet. We're gonna hear all about what our partner is going to have to say to those interesting questions. There's one that's so interesting that I can't even wait to ask you.
Oh my God. Okay.
I know, it's really good. It's really good. Don't worry. No worries.
Okay.
No hot seat. They're probably all going to be hot seats, though, at the end of it. But now there's some good questions.
I can deal.
And, so make sure you tune in next week. We're going to post exactly the dates and times, like always. Thank you all for listening. And thank you all for posting the questions. And thank you, partner, for asking them.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Follow the show. Bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Welcome to Artist Connection with your girls Tamiel C and Tasha, where we care to share your story.
Cheer. Yeah. Red Gab in the building. Knockout Kid on the beat. Check it. Hey, yo. San Miguel, see you, Tasha. Listen to my demo. This grind is crazy. Need some time, can you play me?
Yeah.
I got a whole.